God searched for a limit to his love. What should he keep and what should he give up? To pay sin's awful price for such a worthless one as I. To rescue me, just how far would he go? All the way, he came all the way for me. All the way from heaven's throne to Calvary. Leaving me just one little step to take. If I believe, then he will take me all the way. I think about that city he's prepared. When I arrive, I'll know who placed me there. For my efforts fall so short of the glories of the Lord. He knew they would, so he came all the way. All the way, he came all the way for me. All the way from heaven's throne to Calvary. Leaving me just one little step to take. If I believe, then he will take me all the way. Step to take. If I believe, then he will take me. I believe, so he will take me. Yes, I believe, so he will take me all the way. Take me all the way.
Well, let's look in our Bibles just for a little bit, if you would. We'll be in 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'm sure your pastor is not this way. Sometimes when I'm preaching, as pastors, we call it off theme a little bit. Some people call it chasing rabbits. Mine turn out to be elephants. But I'm preaching in a series, and y'all don't get the whole series. The wife and Aaron do. But the Lord's put on my heart looking at the thought of the will of God, what the Bible says about the will of God. So what you got this morning was one of them white elephants that took off running, and so we chased it down this morning. What I'd like to give you tonight is a little bit more in line with the outline that we're trying to preach in the thought of the will of God. It's not anything just grand and new. All I do is the same thing you can do. You pull out your cell phone and you type in your app, the will of God, or will of God. And it starts bringing up all of these different places where the Bible talks about the will of God. We have so much confusion in our days because we have taken scriptures and we have formulated outlines and we have formulated ideas and we have taken great thoughts from this scripture, and we haven't put it in context. We haven't looked at it in comparison to other scriptures, when if we would just look at what the scripture says and take them as a whole and look at it, then we would have a better idea of what the Bible is teaching. And so all I've been trying to do is just take the different scriptures where it talks about the will of God and just look at the theme that those different scriptures are, what's emanating from them. And so, of course, the overall outline, let me give you that real quick. We had proving the will of God, the price of the will of God, the promise of the will of God, and I can't even read my own writing, and the proof of the will of God, and the people of the will of God. And all of those have different scripture verses that go with them. And we're particularly looking at tonight in the area of the price of the will of God, you had submission, sanctification, and of course tonight we want to look at, just for a few minutes, suffering. Suffering in the will of God. Suffering's not something that we particularly want to do. But if we're going to do the will of God, then we are going to suffer. Now then we look and we find three different areas that we're going to suffer, and we'll start out in 1 Peter chapter number 3, and we'll look in verse number 17. It says, "For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for what? For what? For well-doing, than for evil-doing." First thing we look at is suffering for righteousness. Read with me, if you will, verse number 14. "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." And so we find if we're going to be doing the will of God, this has to take into account that we are renewing our minds, such as Romans says, that we are submitting to the Lord, that we are abstaining from things. And if we are doing the will of God in those areas, then we are going to suffer. Why? Because we are doing right. Because we are doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. Now then, the reason of that is the world is not following after God. Who are they following after? They're following after the devil. Why? Because they're children of the devil. Oh, you shouldn't say things like that. Well, the Bible says that if they are not of the Father God, then they are of their father, the devil. Why? Because they have not repented. They have not forsaken. They were born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. We were born in trespasses and sin. We came out spewing iniquities and vile deceits, and we are lost without God. It does not matter, even if it were possible, that a person could live without sinning any kind of sin from their conception until their death, they would still die and go to hell. Why? Because they were born a sinner, and they must be saved. Now then, they are children of the devil, so they follow after the things of the devil. We are children of God, so we are supposed to be following after the things of God. The two should not mix. I know that religions in these days are trying to mix it up, and I'm so curious and anxious to see how this new pope is going to unite Catholicism with Islam with the Muslims. How is he going to manage that, or is he going to be able to do that? Why? Because they take on the image of everything they're around. But the Word of God is that not that way. One of the preachers already spoke about it and said, the Word of God is yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. It is fixed. It is stationary. It's not going to change. And just for the thought, it is applicable to every generation. Why? Because God knows humankind, and it was written for us. Amen. Now then, if we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. Galatians chapter number 6, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in what? Well doing. Why? For in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." Those that do right or do righteously are going to suffer. And of course, we already quoted 2 Timothy 3:12, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Now then, look over in chapter number 4. First of all, we're going to see suffering for righteousness, doing the will of God. But then in chapter number 4, in verses number 1 and 2, we're going to see suffering for resistance. For as much then as Christ, verse number 1, has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind as Christ. And you'll have to take your own time and go back and read chapter number 3, how that Christ died for our sins and all of these different things that he might redeem us. Likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now don't go whacked out on me on that. We'll explain that in a minute. Verse number 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to what? The will of God. What's it talking about? He that has suffered in the flesh, he that has resisted sin, he has ceased from sin. Does that mean that we're perfect? Does that mean that we're sinless? There's some that teach that. There's some that preach that. It's interesting, down in Georgia where we're from, there's a group, there's a division of a denomination, and they believe in sinless perfection. But when you nail them, or try to nail them down, my professor one time, he called it political jello. Have you ever tried to nail jello to the wall? All right? They're political jello, religious jello, excuse me. And so when you try to nail them down, well, what is sin? Well, there's only certain things that are sin, and it's only this and this and this. Well, how did you select those things to be sin, and this is not sin? When the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? To him it is sin, all right? Now then, we're not going to achieve sinless perfection as they teach and preach. Why? Because we are not perfect. We have a vile body. We have a corrupt body. But when we resist a temptation, when we resist a sin, we are resisting, and we are resisting our flesh. We are resisting our body to that we might submit to God. And in that instance, we have ceased from that sin. Why? Because we have submitted to God. So he that suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. Assuming that he is suffering because he is trying to do right and to resist the wrong. We suffer for resisting. Now then, it's interesting. No, we'll skip that one. We don't have time for that. Chapter number 4, verse number 19. Chapter number 4, verse number 19. We suffer for righteousness. We suffer for resistance. Chapter number 4 and verse number 19. We suffer for resting. Verse number 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in what? Well doing, as unto a faithful creator. We suffer because we are resting. We suffer because we are relying, not in ourselves, not in things that we understand, not in things that we can see, but we suffer because we are resting in him. And we have committed ourselves to him. And we have consecrated ourselves to him. And we don't have a fallback. And we don't have a safety cord or a safety net. We have committed all that we are and everything that we are to him. And we're trying to allow him to take care of us, to supply our need, to guide us and direct us in everything that we are. Everything that we hope to be should be culminated, should be focused on him. Why? Because he is the faithful creator. Amen. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Why? Because we trust him. Amen. We may not be able to see what it is, but it is not an unknown where we have to wonder and we have to fret if God's going to take care of us or not, because he said that he would. Another section that we won't get into for several weeks is the promises when you're in the will of God. Several things that God says that he promises for us when we do His will. But don't expect to do what God would have you to do and not have to suffer. Why? Because this old dirty, nasty flesh wants its own thing. The nasty flesh, we want more to eat, we want more sleep, we want more of this, we want more rest, we want more pleasure, we want more of this. And I haven't even mentioned the ones that you were thinking that I might mention. Those are things that we don't normally think of as sins, but when we allow ourselves to be drawn into that it prevents us from serving God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so we are going to have to confine our flesh. We're going, what was he talking about? That was Brother Moore the other night, tried to cut off his arm. We're going to have to kill the flesh. Why? Because we have a desire to serve God. It's going to cost us something. It cost you to come here tonight. I appreciate you coming tonight. It'd be down where we're at. In Honduras, they're not always accustomed to coming out at night to church. Now, they'll go to the cantina and they'll go to different things at night, but they don't seem to appreciate going to church at night. So sometimes we'll start the service and I'm ready to preach in English, and finally somebody comes in and we'll preach to two or three people. We appreciate you coming tonight. You could have been sitting at home. I don't know if y'all Redskins fans, you could have watched them lose tonight or whenever it was. I don't know. Or if you're baseball fans, is it baseball season still? It cost you something to come here tonight. It cost you something to be back Wednesday night. It cost you to come to Jubilee. It cost you to get up early and read your Bible. It cost you to get up and pray. It cost you to be resistant at work to the jokes, the vile language, or whatever is said and done. It cost you to be separated in the world. Why? Because we're doing God's will. Amen. But the rewards are eternal. Look at this verse. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. He will sustain us. He will care for us. He will take care of us, and He'll see us through. We just have to put ourselves in His hand and let Him guide us. Amen.